My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Boy, look at Rambis in the 80s. My God, what a sight that is.
Rambis was wearing weirdo glasses. It wouldn't even work.
Those are the type of glasses Kenny's going to be wearing in a week.
That's fact. Yo, I got to tell you a quick story about my glasses, right? So I go and get the glasses appointment or whatever, and I had a lot to do. So it was like, man, I kind of know what I want. I know what style I want. Let me just go over there. And they're like, oh, yeah, look at all the glasses or whatever.
You know, give me the Cartier frames.
Well,
with
look,
the,
you know me.
I know. I know you.
Like,
I know.
I was like, hey, man.
I know.
Don't have me over here in the Oakleys, bro. I'm over here. Mm-hmm. I'm over here, proud of this, proud of that.
I'm sure you mind tax returns,
mean?
Brody. I'm
Versace
not a,
this, Versace yeah. that, whatever, yep. you know. So I see these frames, these Gucci frames. Oh, yeah, I like these.
Mm-hmm.
I like these. It's a
mm-hmm.
good look.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good look. So we get to the checkout or whatever the case may be. And she's like, oh, yeah, these are nice, da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever the case may be. But remember, I didn't really have time to look.
Mm-hmm.
I had like maybe 10 minutes to like, and I knew where I wanted to go.
Yep.
So I went there, and then I get there and she's like, okay. Oh yeah, you got these, whatever. All right. So with this off right here, da 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 da. Yeah. The total is going to be $550. I said, well, so wait a minute. Hey, is it okay if I come back and look around a little bit? So I look around a little bit here before I make this decision. She's like, oh, yeah, come back anytime. Yeah, we're going to put these down real quick, and I'm going to look around a little bit. I'm going to come back and look around now mm-hmm. that we have the prescription that I needed.
So mm-hmm.
I may still end up going that
You're
route,
going to get
but
tested.
I need to think about this.
Bro, get the glasses. Hey, I hope Jasmine's not listening. You're not going to miss it.
Oh,
isn't that
no.
what you're not?
Oh,
you're
no.
not going to think in
Look
a year.
Who's the bad influence now. See what I'm saying?
You're not going to think in a year.
Wear your blessings, bro.
Hey, you heard the man.
Mark Jones told me that.
You heard the man.
Man,
get the glasses you want.
I'm probably going to go back over the weekend. Just scope some things out.
I hope Jazz isn't listening. Jazz would have done it.
Jazz got some frames.
I believe it.
She got some frames.
I believe it.
I mean, so she can't tell me what
Mark
not to
Jones
do the, in that situation.
The way this works is in those moments, as BP Butler 95 says, listen to your inner Mark Jones. Oh. In those moments, you Good ask point. Yourself, what would Mark Jones do in this situation?
Mark Jones would have left. He would have
left with three of them.
Just be here. Just bail me.
That's what you do.
No, buy him twice.
Just on principle.
Jesse, you got somewhere for me to sleep? With all this advice you're giving me, you got somewhere for me to sleep?
Yeah, because I got a couch. Here you go.
Okay, well, cool.
See, look, if you wear the glasses every day, it's like $1 a day, $1 and some change. Think about it. Like you are a bit blind, so it won't hurt.
I had that one thing. I was like, man, hey, please, flashing lights, come up. It's been about 17 seconds. I haven't been able to press this button.
Casey's like, hey, doctor, is the machine broke? No.
Game's over, actually.
Sure isn't.
And the lady was so nice, too. She, no judgment, just, okay, let's try the other eye now. I'm about to press that thing four times.
Hey, Kenny, did you fall asleep? No, doctor, I'm awake. All right.
Doctor, so look, they have the thing where you look at the, say, the line from a distance or whatever, right? The line of word or letters. And the first, Doc put up the first one, and I was like, S-D-V-L. Okay, all right, let's try the next slide. I said, I don't know. He's like, yeah, no, I understand. I saw your prelims.
How about this?
Yeah,
how about this?
Well,
how about
this? He did
when it was
one or two.
Oh, that's
one
what it is.
Or two.
Yeah, that's
and
what
when,
it is.
When he got like
one,
the
two.
Little
one,
when he got
two.
The lens.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
on my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing through the wall.
Right. Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got to the second.
That's
line.
When
like,
those are the.
I don't know. Doc.
Those are the Kurt Rambis glasses that you had on there when you were in that machine.
I said, I don't know, Doc. And what I came to find out is my right eye is worse than my left eye. They're both bad, but the right is bad, bad.
Okay.
Well, it's not even bad, bad. I'm just nearsighted. Far side?
I don't know, dude.
Far away is an issue. Like, okay. You, no issue. You're right here in front of me. No issue. Mm-hmm. That, no issue. But far away is a little...
That's Jesse.
You far away.
Hey, Casey,
no,
it's me.
I was going behind.
It's me, Kenny.
Oh, that's Justine back there. Yeah. That's fine. All right. There actually is somebody
is
here.
No, there
is somebody here. Like, I know that's the...
Who is that? Oh, that's Justine.
That is Justine. Well, that's the crazy part. There is somebody here.
It's not much...
No, that's true.
It's just an honorary person every day.
At this point, you could just guess. You could just guess at this
Two
point.
Guesses, I'll get it.
These lights would be off if my man Karosh wasn't here. But my man Karosh here working hard. It's D'Lo and KC. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Had a great day yesterday. Breaking away from the diet a little bit. Had some cake, had some cupcakes, but right back at the deal today with my all-day BCAAs. Got to get to work. Also, those thermogenics and those craving crushers that my guys over at MAP Training and MAPtrition.com have, they go a long way, man. So I've had some tremendous workouts since I've started taking these supplements, man. So excited to be partnered with MAPtrition.com and MAP Training. Head over to MAPtrition.com and use the promo code DLO1320 at checkout to get 10% off your order. If you need any advice, hit me up on Instagram. I'll help you. I'll let you know what supplements work for me. If you have any questions about those supplements, Greg here in Sacramento locally,
nice.
He formulates these supplements. So he'll tell you exactly why he put these things together the way that he did.
Nice.
You know who's staying in the gym is our man, Leezy, 916-909-1320. What's happening, Leezus?
Yo, what's up, D-Lo and Casey? Hey, D-Lo, man, every day you've been doing these promos, I'm going to have to get some of them BCAs, man.
Man, and BCAs, it's the truth, man. It's no joke. You guys have seen me drink these for 2 years now. They go a long, long way in helping me through, especially these long days.
Yeah, I might need that craving crusher, too, man. Keep me out of Chipotle, man. Get me back on the straight
and
narrow.
I don't think anything can keep you out of Chipotle, buddy.
You and me both, Leezy.
That part. Hey,
even though I'm not allowed to go to Chipotle.
You risk life and limb to go to Chipotle.
Hey, KC, I was going to say, man, my vision ain't that good either, but I know that Chipotle sign when I see it, boy.
No, I don't miss that.
That Chipotle sign like a hot and ready sign for Leezy.
I'll be ready, man. I'll be foaming at the mouth.
Okay, well, all right, Leezy.
Yeah. I'm like, what the? Gosh, hold on.
My bad. We going to play through it. Hey, guys, I want to jump in on the basketball talk, man. You know, the Bucks, I think they're going to be a good regular season team, but I think things have gone really bad for the Bucks since they got rid of Budenholzer, trading Drew Holiday, obviously. They had a rough season last year. I think the East overall has gotten better. And, D'Lo, I know you're not really high on the Sixers, but I think they got a lot of good role players from Eric Gordon, who can hit a three, Caleb Martin can play make, Kelly Oubre can hit a shot. I think them with the growth with Tyrese Maxey and the addition of Paul George, I think the 76ers could be better than people think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still concerned about Joel's health in the postseason, but I think overall they'll be good. And also a team I'm not sure if you guys really talked about was Casey's Knicks. I think the Knicks got significantly better.
And overall, I think the East is better, and I'm just not sure how much of a window the Bucks have left.
Yeah, good stuff, Leezy. Yeah. I'll say this, though, about Philadelphia. It's not that I don't think Philadelphia is good. I'm just taking a wait-and-see approach with Philadelphia. It's a lot of – it's weird. I like all of their signings. I love Paul George. Mm-hmm. I love Joel Embiid. I like the ascension of Tyrese Maxey. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Nick Nurse. I like every individual piece they have there.
Yeah.
But outside of, you know, Tyrese and Nick Nurse, I just need to see it. Need to see it together. Yeah. That's all.
They're one of those teams where it's kind of not fair, but honestly, nothing they do in the regular season matters.
And that's the
they'll be top three in the East, I'm sure. Whatever. They're great. They have good role players, Paul George, Caleb, like Lisa said, Caleb Martin. Like, they have guys. But is Paul George going to get you 20, 23 a game or whatever in the playoffs? Because they need someone to help out.
What you're saying isn't wrong, Jesse, but I would just say that they can look different in the regular season than they've had. They have, you know, in the last couple seasons. And make you feel – the ultimate test is going to be the playoffs, like you said. But they can make you feel different during the regular season and going into the playoffs if they look a certain way in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know. With them, it's kind of – you already fooled me a couple times. Like, I've seen you be good in the regular season.
True.
Fool me.
Like, I believed in the Sixers before.
When did I believe in the Sixers?
Jimmy Butler team was the one.
That was the one. That was the team. I don't know if I ever really believed in the Sixers. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks year, that was I thought they were going to get to the conference finals. I don't know if they was going to win it all, but last year I didn't believe in them. The year before, can't really say I believed in them.
I mean, they've had opportunities too. They just have folded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's facts. That's fact.
47 wins for the 76ers last year.
Weren't they like close to the one seed till Joel got hurt?
And Joe played like 36 games? Is that right? That seems ridiculously low.
Yeah, because you said
that
his games played was barely more than his points per game.
That's right. It was 39. He played 39 games and 34.7.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Is the amount of points that he averaged. Yeah.
I believe in Philly more than I do Milwaukee.
That's fair.
Milwaukee's on their way out, I think.
I think they're on their way out too, but I think they might have one last stand to like be a team that you can make a
run. But it's just gotta be Dame and Giannis, right? I don't think you can count on Middleton at this point.
No, you can't
run. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and that's too bad. I don't want to ignore Leezy bringing up the Knicks. We can get to them, but there's another team that people think is on their way out. And it might be a little bit of an overreaction. We'll talk about that. Plus, I had some thoughts on Keon Ellis that I wanted to run by you guys as well. So we have all of that ahead. The phone lines are open for you, as always, 916-909-1320. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Were you looking this up?
Yeah, I got the number. I'm actually kind of shocked.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's over. So clearly it's over.
Said six.
So we're watching. So the NBA TV is on, and they're showing the 1985 Game Six of the 1985 NBA Finals with the Lakers and the Celtics. And I asked KC during the commercial break, how many three pointers, if we sat here and watched this game, how many three pointers do you think we'd see? And Kenny first said six, and I thought that was way too high, and went the over under 3.5, and I think I'd take the under. And Casey said he'd take the over, and he'd say it's six. Jesse, what is the number? The
number is 9.
Wow.
The Lakers took 2, and the Celtics took 7.
And between Ainge and Bird, they probably – do you have the
– They haven't even sniffed the three-point line yet.
They are avoiding the three-point line. Like, they'll get zapped like those bugs on the contraption.
Larry took 2. Dennis Johnson took 1. Ainge took 2, and then Scott Wedman took 2.
We've seen at least 3 possessions where in 2024 someone's taking a 3.
Look at nobody even wants to stand beyond
nobody.
The 3-point line. That is crazy to see.
I wonder. I hope we get to see what the context of one of these 3-pointers is, and if they get yelled at for taking it. Is
what
Casey
the hell
Jones
are you doing taking that trick shot?
This is the era the old-timers love, though. This is real basketball right here. Look at this. This is real basketball. Well, that guy's real.
He definitely is real.
I was like, wow, no foul. Oh, my God.
They call it travel or something.
What is this, FIBA?
Oh, I can bet you.
Oh, here comes Mitch Kupchak. Look at those shorts.
One of the Lakers threes is from Michael Cooper.
Why does Mitch Kupchak got these? Mitch Kupchak looked like Stone Cold Steve Austin right now. He got these short ass tight shorts and a big ass knee brace on.
It really is crazy that it's back. Like the short shorts are back.
Well, but this is a different type of short shorts. This is short shorts that are. Oh, look at that. Ooh. Oh, Irvin is nasty. Oh, well, that would have been a technical in 2020. But Kevin McHale just had a face off with an official. This is wild
to watch.
To
live watch this.
This is basketball in the 80s. This is real basketball. All right, pal.
LeBron wouldn't have made it back then.
Okay. LeBron would have humiliated half of the people on this court.
I really wish just one time in life we could put LeBron in 2015 into this game. I just really want to see what
look at Kevin McHale. LeBron James can't beat Kevin McHale. Are you kidding me right now? Look at this guy. This is outrageous. This is absolutely outrageous. We might be distracted. We might have to turn the channel. This is ridiculous. Look, Rambus. This is, God bless it.
Magic checks out, though.
Oh, Magic.
And Bird checks.
Magic works in any era.
Yeah.
Look at Worthy down there working against Robert Parrish.
Worthy getting buckets. Well, Worthy getting buckets. That's like the third.
Well, this was years before he was humiliated in a Wheaties commercial.
Didn't we throw him out of the top 75 one time too?
I don't know if we did.
I think I did for sure.
Oh goodness! Well, that's a foul. Well, it's Mitch Kupchak. He deserved it.
So look, if if that happens today to Luka, what does Luka do?
He throws his hands up. Maybe dies on the floor.
So that's the difference.
Maybe gets the Draymond Green chalk outline at the Golden 1 Center. Maybe gets one of those.
That's the difference right there. That foul, Kupchak, you know, just a hard foul, layups. He just doesn't even fall. He stays on his feet, keeps it moving.
Well, the funny part about it is you see who fouled him?
Who was it?
Danny Ainge.
Oh, jeez.
Danny Ainge, just the general manager of the Utah Jazz, just fouled the hell out of the – I guess he's the now former general manager of the Hornets.
Yeah. See, that is the difference. And I'm not even saying it today, like, these guys are soft. Like, they're tough, but they – something like that happens. We got to go to the monitor and, you know, what was it, on the ball and all this other stuff.
Yeah, definitely different. Definitely different. Let's get Mitch in here. 916-909-1320.
This is Mitch's type of game right here.
It is. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Damon? KC?
What's up, man?
Yeah, you know, Magic and Larry Bird saved the NBA back in those days, but, you know, Wilt and LeBron, would have kicked, you know what, all those guys.
I agree.
And I think when all said and done, I think Luka's be better than Larry Bird. But Sacramento's got to make one more move, I think, because I think the West has gotten pretty good. Even San Antonio. You saw what they did in the draft.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, no Ja Morant, but I think the Kings are good in the West. Not to win it, but they're going to be right there. They're going to be one of them teams.
Yeah, when people say the Kings need to make another move, it's like, well, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like what are you – I'm just going to use a name because it's funny. Like, are you referring to a Mason Plumlee-type move, or are you referring to a Kyle Kuzma-type move? Or are you referring to a Brandon Ingram-type? Like, what exactly are we talking about?
Their next move probably needs to come at the trade deadline. When you see what this roster is looking like, you probably have a better feel of, all right, we need this for the final stretch.
I agree. And
that could be a range between any of those names. It could completely, you know, completely depends on how the season is going.
And can we, like, okay. I'm not saying that as they are, they're a championship team or nothing like that. I'm not making that proclamation. But, like, how much more do you really need? They already have five guys that can average 20. You know what I mean? Like, look at Dallas last year. Dallas last year, they didn't have five guys that could average 20. They had, like, when you talk about make a move, you were half jokingly, but it needs to be like a Derrick Jones type player.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Kyle Kuzma or marketing, unless you're ready to move on from somebody that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And because of that, like, you can go, you can get that whenever. You know what I mean? And you can get that a number of different ways. Like, I'm not saying it's this guy specifically, but you can go get a Torian Prince that can balance out the roster a certain way. But not saying I don't like him or you don't need him or nothing like that, but the Kuzmas, the Ingrams, the marketings, like nah. Like, because where are they even going to go? We're so, like, we love Malik Monk and all this other stuff. He not going to finish the game?
Yeah.
He not going to be a part of what they do? Like, I think they're good on that front. The next move needs to be a low-key smaller move, I think.
I got you. Yeah, I'm with you.
Am I doing too much in saying they got five guys that were like, yo, in the right situation, they could average 20? Like, what do we need to bring a sixth for?
No, and that's why I posed the question. I think it's such a generic thing to say the Kings need one more. What are you talking about? Like, what is it that they need? What is it that they're lacking? And here's the trick about that. We don't know.
Right. Right.
He ain't played a game.
Which goes to just one. See what this roster is.
Yeah.
The next game.
Monty doesn't need to do anything from now until the trade deadline.
I believe the next.
Or force anything, I should say. Yeah. Like, if there's something there, do what you do. But other than that.
The next big move that the Kings would make would be replacing Sabonis, Fox, or Keegan Murray. Like, when you talk about bringing in a Kuzma marketing type dude, like that caliber of player, you're looking at what you have. And Murray would be first, really, in my opinion. But you're looking at what you have in a Murray and be like, all right, that's not enough. We've got to kind of move and upgrade from this spot. Or if the Kevin O'Connors of the world, all right, Sabonis, that's not enough. We need to upgrade from this position. Like, I think they've added around them enough at this point. The next big move you would make would be replacing one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening. Like, I think, especially with Fox and Sabonis, I think you're locked into that for some years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So
most definitely. Yeah. Biggest question, I mean, I think there's a couple of big questions. One, we talked a little bit about, well, we've talked quite a bit about it. We talked about it on with Deuce and Moe, and we've talked about it on Sports Sunday in the past, is Kevin Huerter, and how does this all work with him? How does he fit into this? How does this all work? Mm-hmm. I have some questions about Keon Ellis, and it's not necessarily questions about Keon Ellis, but it's questions more posed to all of us. And that's, what if we're underestimating Keon's role? Mm. Now, I recognize I'm at fault for a lot of this, because I heard well, I'm fine with that, because I heard a Monty McNair conversation on a Summer League broadcast that I completely interpreted a certain way. It was a complete interpretation. It wasn't the words that Monty McNair used. He didn't roll his eyes when he said it. He just said something about Keon stepping in when other guys were out and played well. And I interpreted that a certain way. Monty might love Keon. Mike might love Keon. And the thing that, as I was kind of asking myself this question, was, what exactly did Keon do that wouldn't make him a major part of what the Sacramento Kings are doing this season? And I couldn't come up with an answer to that. He took advantage of most of his moments on the offensive end. Again, this was a two-way player at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal, nothing short of phenomenal, on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
So where did he fall short? And I think the answer is he didn't. Mm. So why wouldn't we head into this season believing that Keon Ellis, again, I think we have all stated, Keon Ellis has a role with Sacramento. We've speculated on what exactly that role is, how big that role might be, how small that role might be, what Monty McNair's remarks meant, what they didn't mean. We've done all that, but he was great last year. He's earned the opportunity to continue that and to really truly build out an NBA career. And looking back on last season, looking at some of Will Z's numbers, looking at some different videos and films, like he was great. Why wouldn't he be a big part of what they're doing?
No answer to that, right? Like, I really believe the one bit of hesitancy that people would have, maybe the Kings have, if they even have, if they are even hesitant about Keon, is what you said in the middle of that, was he was a two-way player a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy that was playing in Stockton a little bit last year. And they may love everything that they saw from him. They may look at that and be like, that's exactly what we need. But they may want to see it again consistently. And I don't know what that again consists of. Is it the first quarter of the season? Is it the first half? Is it a whole nother season of that before you feel confident about that? Now, real quick to that point, though, they did sign him to a contract. You know what I mean? Like, what was it, 2-year deal? 3-year deal?
I think it was two.
2-year deal?
I'd have to look it up, but I think it was two.
And that showed a little bit of belief as well. I know there was probably some G League, you know, games play rules or whatever where they had to make a decision or whatever the case may be.
That's right.
But they still did it. They was like, yo, we want him around.
3 years. Sorry, three-year.
That's a decent deal. You know, it's coming from a
I'm looking to see if there's any football stuff in here where there's a little haggling on that final year or whatever it is.
But that they saw something there, but maybe I'll put it to you like this. If Keon was drafted where Davion was drafted, I don't know if there'd be any doubt from anybody. It'd be like, no, he finally
got
it.
So just the Brock Purdy thing.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Oh, no, he finally got it. It took him a couple years, but he finally got it, and this is the guy that we drafted and we believed in. Because Keon is kind of coming out of nowhere and a two-way guy, they may want to see it. They may want to see it a little bit.
What's the doubt with Keon? Because isn't he just like the sixth, seventh, eighth guy on the team, take six, seven shots a game? I don't think he's going to have this big role on the team. Like, I think it's just a matter of, all right, Keon, like, when you're out here, hit your shots, play some defense. I don't think there's a bigger role or a smaller one.
Well, some say the bigger role should be him starting at the two.
Well, that's the thing. He starts, but that's, I guess, this is the same role.
But that's the part I disagree with a little bit. The hit the shots, play some defense. It's hit some shots and set the defensive tone. And I think that's different. You're asking Kevin Huerter to hit some shots and be aware on the defensive end, right? With Keon, I feel like you're asking him to hit some shots and set the tone for what the Sacramento Kings want to do defensively. And I feel like that's what he did last year. And you talked about you need to, you know, maybe Monty, Mike, maybe the Kings in general need to see it again. Perfectly, that's perfectly logical. But has he earned the opportunity to show it again? And I feel like he has. That's where I'm hung up on is like, and this is what happens in the offseason, man, is we started, this whole thing kind of started with, all right, Malik is re-signed. Man, I think Malik is starting. And then, you know, a couple weeks go by. Hey, guys, when Kevin's on, like, he's really good. Hey, Kevin Huerter can start. And you know, to be fair to that conversation, we presented, you know, scenarios for what it would look like with Kevin Huerter off of the bench and, you know, the different things that he could do and the different positions he could play and all of that. And I guess now we're on to Keon, and we can get into the starting versus reserve role, but he deserves, at least in my opinion, a really healthy role.
I agree. I'm of the belief, like, we're on the same page. I don't need to see more from Keon. I believe what he showed at the end of the season is who he is, and that's the bare minimum of what he's going to bring every time he's out there. I don't need to be convinced of him. I was the one to say, yo, this guy could be an all-defensive player.
Yeah.
Like, I am fully locked in and buying what Keon Ellis is selling.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe we're in the minority a little bit.
Is he core? Like, he's part of what's going forward?
I slow down on that.
Not the core. We're not trading him, but more so like Keon has a role. Like, he's a guy here.
I would say yes, and some of that has to do with his contract. Like, he's a guy that you can depend on and you believe in. That cheap.
Yeah,
he'd be somebody I'd be trying to hold on to in any type of discussions. Like, somebody, no, we want Keon Ellis. Oh, I don't know, bro.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, the New Orleans, for instance. Oh, we'll give you Brandon Ingram. You know, contracts work. Laurie Markkanen. Like, even Laurie Markkanen. If they want a Keon, I'm that much of a believer in what I saw. Like, I don't know, man. We got a guy that can be that productive on that contract. I don't know. I don't know if I'm.
It's like a $5 million contract or something like that.
And I think he is core. And you need guys like that too, right? I just talked about how all these 20-point-per-game scores. You need a guy like Keon who isn't that, but given the opportunity, can give you 15 and defend. They're not going to give you 15 a night, but two of your guys just can't throw it in the ocean that night. Get Keon in there. He's going to lock up, and Keon goes 5 for 8 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, and he's capable of scoring 20-plus. I think that's one really great thing about Keon is he's capable of doing a lot of things.
Yes.
Not a shot whatsoever at Kevin Huerter, but like, Kevin can get you 30. He can get you 30 plus. He can get white hot and change the complexion of a game offensively. Kevin can also hustle, get after you know, loose balls, get his hands on rebounds. Like, he could do a lot in that regard. No one's going to say, at least I can't imagine, anyone going, man, Kevin Huerter really set the tone defensively for this one.
Yeah.
Now, and again, that's not a shot. It's not everybody. Not a game, yeah, right? Not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Keon can. And the thing that I keep going back to is Mike Brown. Mm. Mike Brown, I think, both wants that, needs that, and going back to last year, was desperately looking for it, mm-hmm. which is why I think we got into the issue that we got into with Kevin Huerter mm-hmm. and the Chris Duarte stuff to start the season, is he was essentially looking for what Keon Ellis wound up doing. He was just looking in the wrong place. He thought that guy was Duarte, and it wasn't. Hell, I think he tried Kobe Jones at one point, and Kobe's a young guy. That could work out differently later. But he eventually found it in Keon. And I don't think it's not Keon didn't do this over three games.
Right.
Or even five. Like, he did this over a healthy part of the end of the season.
Well, we said, what was it, 25 games? Final 25 games or so where he was playing. I know he started starting
when
Malik went down, but he was playing well before that. That Memphis game, it had to have been.
Feel like it was right around the trade deadline,
yeah,
right in that vicinity. Right. So yeah, like that's the thing that I keep getting drawn back to is Mike, mm-hmm. and what Mike was looking for last year, what he eventually found, what I believe he wants and needs from a player. I think Keon checks all of those boxes, which leads me to believe, just in that alone, he has a big role with this team. The math is becoming a problem, though, because Huerter is still here, and Huerter can be very valuable. Mm-hmm. We know how valuable Malik is here. And, oh, by the way, you got a Hall of Famer from Chicago on your squad now who perhaps changes the complexion of everything you can do offensively. Mm-hmm. The good part for Keon is, I think he fits into that. The right Kevin Huerter fits better offensively. The right Kevin Huerter fits better. But on a night to night, will Mike takes what Keon can do, and really all we're talking about at this point is behind the arc. Mm-hmm. Because with De'Aaron and DeMar out there at the same time, if Keon is in there, you'll have Keon in that Huerter role. He's behind the line.
Yeah.
Unlike what we're watching up here in the 1985 NBA Finals, you're going to have Keon and Keegan and guys like that ready to be behind the line because DeMar can create plays like previously only De'Aaron and Malik could.
Yeah. I think with what Keon can bring to the table and everything that he provides, it's even more of a reason, in my opinion, to see if you can steal minutes and kind of slide Kevin Huerter over to being a small forward, a backup three type guy. Because Keon and what he provides, hearing you speak about it and thinking back to it, he's too important to get lost in that shuffle. What he brings to the table is too essential for him to get lost in this shooting guard shuffle. So, and this is assuming Malik Monk is starting.
Mm-hmm.
But like Malik is starting, it shouldn't be two guys behind, you know, Malik for the shooting guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep Keon as the backup shooting guard and then give Huerter minutes as the backup small forward.
Let's I want to bring Joel's remark up here. Feels like if Kings viewed Keon as a 6'7" in rotation. A little typo, nothing wrong with it.
No, that's no problem, but that's definitely inside the NBA. They're going to call him Leon Ellis.
Leon Ellis, 100%. 100%. Feels like if Kings viewed Keon as a 6th and 7th in the rotation, he wouldn't have played in Summer League. Now, you've brought that up before. Not just played in Summer League, but the amount he played in Summer League. Mm. Let's visit that just for a split second, because when you brought it up, much like when I brought up the Monty McNair remark, it kind of sat with me a little bit like, yeah, why is he playing on Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, get that man out of there. But let's go back to what we were just talking about. This was a two-way player at the beginning of the season. This was a guy who didn't play 82 games for the Sacramento Kings last year. Mm-hmm. maybe the idea was, yo, get him out there and get him some run. I mean, I don't know how many games did DeMar play in the Drew League. You know what I mean? In reality, it's not like Keon was out there playing 15 basketball games.
Right.
Played like four. He just played four in a really boring time. Mm-hmm. He played four with a bunch of guys who might make the G League or might have to pursue, you know, careers overseas or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it felt kind of out of place. But much like DeMar in the Drew League, it could have been just as simple as we want him to play basketball. We want him to play basketball with us. Now, I do think from a Kings perspective, they wanted more of what we saw in the final game. I think it was the final game from Keon, where he's really aggressive offensively. He's hitting shots. He's dictating every, like, he is an NBA player out there, and that is clear. Mm-hmm. He is with a bunch of guys who may or may not be, but he is an NBA player, and that's obvious.
Right.
There were a couple of games where that was the case. There was one or two where it was like, that's not what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I wonder if they just wanted Keon to play basketball. And maybe we're looking a little too, we're diving a little too deep into
that,
it.
That absolutely could be the case. Yeah, for sure.
We'll come back. I mentioned we were talking about Jesse said he thinks the Bucks are on their way out. Again, I just had a ton of NBA questions today. That I'll throw at you, because there's another team that clearly, at least by some things I was reading today, everybody thinks is on their way out. And I'm going to ask if people are overreacting.
Okay. I want to hear.
I mean, they did just win a championship. We'll talk about it.
Out on the Celtics already, huh?
It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Quick note on Keon before we get to... our man Titus here at 916-909-1320. The 2025 year, so next season, mm-hmm. We know I'm really struggling with the year right now, is a team option. So
okay.
Keon plays this year at 2.1, and then there's a team option for the following year.
Gotcha.
So probably something, I guess, to keep in mind,
yeah.
As it pertains to Keon Ellis. Let's get our man Titus in here. Titus, what's happening, baby?
Hey, what's up with y'all?
What's good, man? Real Brothers Sacramento, one half of them.
You already know it. Hey, I'm the only one rapping, too, at this point, though. You feel me?
That's all right.
Yeah, where Lewis at, right. Man? Lewis ain't been around, man. Where he at, man?
Yeah, man, I don't know if he in jail or what, man, but he might be on the run. Hey, D-Lo, I want to say one thing real quick about, hey, D-Lo, I didn't forget my birthday too, right? I'm 46. This the reason why you forgetting it, because you look younger. You see what I'm saying?
That's what I'll tell. Whatever you say. I like that answer. That's what it is. It's not that I'm a jackass. It's that I look younger. That's it.
Yeah, you ain't got to be cocky about it. Now look, y'all keep saying, what do the Kings need? Now, I got two questions for y'all. Then y'all can hang up on me after that. Who is our bruiser, number one? And then who is our lockdown defender? Just name them two to me.
It's Sabonis and Keegan.
No, okay, well, there you have it. Next. Appreciate you, Titus. Titus was serious. He was like, so, I'm going to ask this and then I'm out of here.
Sabonis is the bruiser. Keegan is the lockdown defender.
You can also make
the argument Fox is the lockdown defender as well.
Yeah, Keegan gets lockdown status?
Yeah.
Over De'Aaron?
They're about the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just asking. Broadcast journalists. That's what I do. In reality, Keon's a lockdown defender,
well,
isn't
he? Facts. I think okay. Keon, yes.
No, I understood the spirit of the question. Yeah. I was just like, but in reality, that's the lockdown defender.
Yeah, for sure.
Domas is a bruiser, man. Domas. That dude works his ass off.
And then they be calling him soft.
That's crazy. that's just a label that just does not fit him. Not in my estimation. That label does not fit.
Talk about the people that play against them. They tell you it's just a physical,
mm-hmm.
like it's a fight. Like you win for a physical battle when you go up against them. because he get after it.
That's facts. That's facts. We were talking the Milwaukee Bucks earlier. I don't know why, but we were. And Jesse said he feels like the Bucks are on their way out. Boy, the Denver Nuggets are not receiving positive reviews for the offseason that they had. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is Russell Westbrook hate. Some of that is they're losing guys and not being able to replace them. Some of that is maybe just the lore of Jokic, and this happens to all great players, and the Nuggets is wearing off a little bit for some media types. And I understand the thought of maybe Denver not being as good as they were last year. I can even wrap my brain around the idea that Denver's no longer, yeah, I don't know that I'd rank them at the top of the championship conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think this idea that Denver is kind of out of the mix, I don't think I'm ready to go there yet.
Out of the mix as a championship contender?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sitting on the fence. I'm trying to decipher between, like, could I see the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals? Like, I think I can.
This might be the last year of them being championship contenders until they need to make another move and kind of retool.
Okay.
Like, this is like that last.
I might be.
Until maybe next, like after this year, it's like, all right, we got to switch some things up here.
I might be able to get on board with that more so than. And I please don't misunderstand. Like, I understand why people are down. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, yeah, okay, maybe they didn't do everything. You know, the role players have been depleted, all those different things, but still a really good squad.
Yeah, they're good. I'm of the in that group that I don't look at them necessarily as a championship contender moving forward, I guess you could say. Like, this may be, like Jesse said, their last real opportunity with this group to be in that conversation and possibly winning a title, but I even think that's fading a little bit.
Mm.
You know, they've lost two really important pieces to what they do in each of the last two off seasons, and they've got to find a way to make up for that, you know, and even more than any type of what Russell Westbrook hate, the young guys that they thought might be able to do it, they haven't shown up yet. So until they show up and show consistently that they're good enough, there's going to be some questions.
Denver, everyone is understandably there's context to this story, but everyone is really high on Oklahoma City, and part of the thing that they'll reference is being the one seed. Mm-hmm. I also understand they have, we'll talk more about Chet in a minute. They got SGA, like they have a squad, and they made moves this offseason that I like. Mm-hmm. They got the one seed because Denver blew the 81st game of the season to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like, is this conversation still happening the way that it is if Denver was the one seed last year and misses in the playoffs? It feels like it's a little bit different that, oh, they got passed up by Oklahoma City. Weren't even the one seed, and then they lose in the playoffs, and, like, it's these things that compound each other. You beat a 22-win, a 21-win at the time, San Antonio Spurs. Is the conversation any different at all?
Maybe a
little. Hell, are the playoffs any different at all if they win that game?
I don't think so, because it got to a point where they weren't even really playing the same way like they have before. Like, it looked off a little bit.
I agree with that. It felt like Michael Malone was trying to motivate them for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And he started using lines about that we haven't heard Michael Malone do before. Hey, we're the defending champions. Mm-hmm. Are we going to play like it? Like, he was aggressive in his approach with that basketball team, and it didn't work.
And how often is Jamal Murray going to be able to play through his injuries now?
Well, that's part of
this. That's now
that might be
question.
Taking over now a little bit more.
I do think Denver has a couple of questions with guys that we considered a part of their core, if you will.
Well, Jamal Murray is interesting because Jason Jones talked about it yesterday, and he's right. as much as we get on Jamal Murray for what he did in the Olympics and all this other stuff, do we remember what he looked like in that Lakers series? I mean, he was lights out. And I know it was a different time, but do we remember the battle he had with Donovan Mitchell in the bubble?
Of course.
Where he was hitting, I mean.
4 years ago.
So that's the thing. Like, it's he has that type of talent. Can he tap into it all the time?
Mm.
And as good as he was, what was that? Was it the game four, I think it was, when he had that, he
Lakers?
Was killing. No, no, against Minnesota.
Oh.
He hit the buzzer beater at the half, and he was killing and all this other stuff. Like, it's just a little level of inconsistency from him.
In the playoffs this year, he was 8 of 21 from the field, 20 points per game, shot 40% from the field.
Ooh, 20 on 20?
Yeah, hit two threes a game, took six of them.
That's tough. Mm. That's tough.
Just, like I said, just inconsistent. There's times when he looks like a world beater, and then there's times when he's nowhere to be found.
But is
looks like that meme.
That meme is not okay.
No, it's not.
That meme is not okay.
I wish they would stop that. But the guy's leaning into it. He got a Jamal Murray jersey.
Bro, they got a Tatum one too.
Well, of course he's leaning into it.
You haven't seen the Tatum one?
No, I ain't seen the Tatum one.
Well, that's the thing. Like, these guys, like, lean into it. Dude's got a Tatum jersey now. The other guy's got a Jamal Murray jersey.
Oh. Well.
Oh, man.
My favorite, my absolute.
They need to stop.
My absolute favorite thing on the internet is the, if I send this to you, it means. That's one of my favorite internet bits. Because if I send this to you, yeah, and it's a picture of Jason Tatum, it means I ain't doing nothing. That's funny.
That is just messed up, man.
That's funny.
But yeah, man, I just think even if they had gotten the one seed, I think the conversation would be close to the same with that loss of KCP. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody thinks that they're still a good team, but they're not the team they were 2 years ago when they won a championship. And I think that's fair.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.